Good evening, everyone. I'm glad you're all excited to be here tonight to see me. I'm going to preach an 8-point sermon, which will take about an hour and a half. No, you're all right. I'm only joking. I'm going to give you a brief word of testimony. Not long. I gave my testimony last time I was here, but I'd like to invite you. We're having a praise concert next week in Portadown. If you want to go, free admission, okay? It's in the Craigavon Civic Centre, and it ought to be a good night. The choir at Macrafelt Church will be there, and different ones, Live Issue, Cup of Joe, I don't know any of them. My brother is organising it, so you're more than welcome to come. And I thought there was, whenever we were singing the choruses, I thought there was only maybe 5 in the meeting. But it just reminded me of the times whenever I was in the youth as well, and I would have been sitting away in the back row, just like these lads way back there, and I didn't want ever to be called on doing anything. I would have said no. Always I said no. And but here I am, and the Lord had other plans. And I had a message, but I'm not going to, because my time is away. I really have to move on quickly. But I grew up in the church in Mullaglass. You know where Mullaglass is? No, okay. Outside Newry. Do you know where Newry is? Yeah, the Mullaglass Church is just out there, the Free Presbyterian Church there. And the church that I grew up in was the old hall, which was like this. And it was mentioned to me at the beginning that you are now bringing cushions to sit on because your bums are sore. Is that right? Yeah. Well, that's what I grew up on, was those pews just like that. And it reminded me of being a wee boy in church. I loved going to church. I went to all the children's meetings. I went then to our youth. It was on a Friday night. And as I mentioned, I would have never taken part. I was very happy to be in the back row. And even though I could play the piano and stuff like that then, and then I quit because my friends in high school didn't do it, but I could play then and I didn't. And so if anybody here, who can play the piano here? Anybody? Yeah, you can play the piano. Yeah? Well, you help out then, okay? You take over and you help, because your leaders won't always be here. You will have to take over. So in years to come, you get up here and play. I was talking with our young people the other week, and I told them, and if you don't keep quiet, I move you to the front. In the Philippines, I move people to the front. And it's mostly old people, and because they don't listen, because they're all falling asleep. And no, I'm only joking. But no, I did. I grew up in the church in Mullaglass, and then I went through high school just like you. I was just, you might look at me and think, that's an Isle boy. But I was just like you. Who loves coming to these meetings? You do. You just love it, don't you? Accept it. You enjoy coming here. I was the same. I loved coming to the youth fellowship. We went to after church rallies. The after church rallies then were full. Bambridge youth, we used to have Bambridge after church rallies. No, it was full of people. And I also went to the Cleft, which was another meeting on a Saturday night. And it was running, the Cleft was running maybe over 500 people. And I was coming out of the toilets in a mall, in Bow Street Mall in Portadown, and I met a man, Clive Elliott, and he was the leader of that group. And whenever I was attending those meetings, again, I would always sit in the back row, hide away, and I was going to Bible college then. And I never told anybody I'm going to Bible college. And then I met him for the first time after nearly 20 years. And I said, hello, Clive. And I told him who I was. And I encouraged him. And you know, later on in life, whenever you meet your leaders here, don't hide away from them. Go over to them and say, you know, I really love those meetings. And it'll encourage them. And it will encourage you as well. But anyway, I attended a meeting. I was maybe 18 years of age. And I attended a meeting. I was working as an electrician. Everything was going well. And the pastor preached on Christians giving their lives over to the Lord. And it really spoke to me. The Lord spoke to my heart. And the Lord, he gave an invitation. And I went up. And I never thought the Lord would ever want me in Bible college. Whenever I was in school and that, and you have to give your reports, you know, if you read a book, you have to give a report. Is that right? Yeah, at the front of the class. Hello? Yeah, is that right? Thank you. They're in the middle there, thank you. And I, for the life of me, I would not do that. I would never stand up and give her a report. I had to go into the wee room on my own with a teacher. If you did that now, there'd be problems probably. But then there was no problems, and you know, there was nothing, there was no nonsense like that. But anyway, what a good time then. But anyway, I would never talk. I do have a speech problem, right? And but the Lord called me anyway. And honestly, I never thought that the Lord would have me preaching. I preach out in the Philippines, and I remember preaching in a meeting, and there was a deacon there, and the deacon, he was listening very, you know, he was listening well to me, like most of yous, not some, not all yous, but most of yous, but he was listening well, and I had the opportunity of going back then the next week, and that there deacon was preaching, and he said about how much he was encouraged by my preaching, because he says, if Brother Garth can do it, then I can do it. So I just wanted to get up and hit him, because it really, it hurt me. And you know, it does hurt me. You might think, if I'm a missionary, I can take anything. No, I can't. I get very angry, especially if you use the back row not listening to me. But I'll get you back later. But anyway, no, I have to be good now. But you know, the Lord uses those people who are available. You might think I don't have the abilities that, you know, so-and-so has, and I don't have the abilities to do that. The Lord doesn't want your abilities. He wants you to be available so you can help him and you can progress his work. That's what he wants. And you're here and you're young, but, you know, the devil, he doesn't want you to come here. And the devil will be trying everything as you grow up and as you do your exams and you're going on to further education and everything. The devil will not want you to come here. And he will tempt you with the world. I remember, I'll tell you this, and I don't always tell this, but 3 nights before the meeting where the Lord called me, I was at a party in Belfast, and I'm a Christian. I was a Christian from I was 7 years of age. Now, I don't know how the devil would know, but he knows things. And I was at a party in Belfast at the universities, and it was a birthday party, and they said, oh, come on, Gareth, and we'll go to this here other party that's going on. And I walked in, and there was like a bar. And there was loads of Christians who I knew were Christians who were in the bar drinking and smoking and all the rest of it. And I knew they were Christians. And I went in there and I looked around and I was sitting down and they were saying, oh yeah, take a drink. And I didn't want. And honestly, I never felt as uncomfortable in all my life. It was like there was a presence of the devil. And he was like around me saying, like, Gareth, you can have this. You can have this. And people were throwing drink into them. And I hated it. And I knew after that there that only 3 days later I was in the meeting and the Lord was calling me. As I look back on that, I knew that the devil was trying to keep me out of that meeting. And the devil is alive and well. You might think, you know, but the devil is going about as a roaring lion. He's not going about, hello, little Christian, do you want to go here? No, he's not. He's tempting you with your mates, with anything he can. And especially whenever you would get active in the church and you get involved in this youth work, he will become more angry with you. I worked with a man who's now... He was accepted into Bible college. And he said, Gareth, this... He was accepted last week. And he says, Gareth, this is the worst week I have ever had. Because the devil is at him all the time. And if you stand up and you do something for Jesus, the devil will not like it. But praise the Lord, we have one who is greater than the devil, who we can say, devil, flee from me and cover me with your blood, and the devil goes away. And that's what you need to do. And I could go on and on and on. And I would like to thank you for the Bibles. Was it easy getting those Bibles? Was it easy? Who got the Bibles? Hands up. Hands up. Some of you got them. Praise the Lord for good honest Christians in the meeting. Praise the Lord. Well, it's not easy. And I need thousands and thousands of Bibles. And I need your prayers. And we need your prayers in getting the Bibles. We're helping hundreds of churches out there. There'll be pictures of them. And I'm just going to go on now with the pictures now, because my time is really moving really quick, isn't it? You look at the time and you just want a bit of time later to fellowship. And is there any boyfriends and girlfriends in the meeting? There's always boyfriends and girlfriends in these meetings, isn't there? Well, that's a good place to meet up and break up. But anyway, there's lots of that going on too, isn't there? Oh, well. Brother, I will try. Not that you're going to break up tonight, I'm not saying that. No. I hope you don't. Hope you get married and take over this work. It'll be great. Right, can you all see? Can you all see? And I will be getting up and down, so I will be getting up and I'll be checking up on yous. And if yous boys in the back row want to move up to front beside me, it's okay. I'll not mind. I remember doing a meeting and there was a bunch of old people in it. Most of the meetings I do have a bunch of old people in them. And there was a man who was 96, I think. And after I did the presentation and the lights were off and at the end of it, everybody was shaking my hand and everything. And he said to me, why did you turn the lights off? He didn't even know that there was a presentation. So I hope at the end you do listen. And any questions, ask me. And but I do thank you for all your efforts with the Bibles. They have arrived there a couple of weeks ago. And so we're very thankful about that there. And Ogie was able to get them. You know, you remember Ogie? He was the man. He is the man. So this is a picture. Can we turn these lights off, or can you see? This is a wonderful heater here, but you don't use it anymore. I was telling, what's your name, brother? Johnny. I am terrible with names. I go to churches and everybody says, hello, Gareth, how are you? But I don't remember. And I remember in our youth meeting, we had a bus, right? An old bus that we got out of a scrapyard. And we repaired it. And the heat in the bus was one of these at the front of it. And we tied it with rope at the front. And we went from Mulloglass away to Port of Ogie, away to Macrafelt, with a super sir tied to the front up beside the engine. Not good. Health and safety was good then. It was more fun back then. So it was. Now yous have no fun. All yous have is iPads and stuff, and that's no fun. But anyway, this is the picture of the prayer card down there. And we're going backwards. No, we're not. So the Philippines, you know where it is? Yes? You know where the Philippines is? Right, good. Way over at the other end of the world there. And it takes us maybe 24 hours to get by plane, and maybe 3 months by boat. And but we've never done it by boat. I'm only guessing that. So I want to kind of talk about what it's like living in the Philippines, what the country is like. This is 4 hours north. These are rice paddies. Rice has been cut. These rice paddies have been cut into the mountain millions of years ago. They were cut hundreds of years ago. There's no millions of years ago. The world's only about maybe 7 or 8 thousand years old. Okay? So don't believe everything your teachers tell you. So here you go. There's the rice paddies. That has to be harvested by hand. I'll turn the lights back on. I will. Right, anyway, there you go. Right, this is up north. I'll stand up so you can listen. This is way up north here, but maybe 12 hours north. It's about a mile high. If you do want to move up, there's room up here so you can see. Come on up. Come on, you boys in the back there. Come on up here. Who can't see? Come on up here. Come on, sit up here. I'll go down and pull you up. Come on. Oh, come on. Oh, come on up to the front. Oh, come on. Oh, come on. There you go. Who else can see? This is very important to me. Right. This is where we grow our vegetables. Okay? All of our potatoes and our carrots and our onions and our garlic and our cabbage. They're all grown up in the mountains. Now, remember, the Philippines has over 100 million people. 100 million, over 100 million people. And we grow all our vegetables. These mountains are over a mile high. And the temperature here would be maybe 15 degrees. The temperature down with us would be, the coldest would be 25. That's the coldest. The hottest would be 45. So, it's nice and hot and very humid. So this is a place near us, maybe 2.5 hours. This is the closest beach. And any visitors that we have, we go here. There are beautiful waters. They have giant clams. You know what clams are? Anybody know what a clam is? You can eat a clam, yeah? Well, out there the clams are about this size. And if you go near them, it can hold you down. But anyway, so these are my pet crocodiles. I let them go at night time to keep out the intruders. So, there you go. Now, this is a zoo you can go to, and you can feed the crocodiles. There's my boys there. Now, these are big crocodiles. And what you do is, you can go and you buy a little bit of chicken, and you put the chicken on a piece of rope on a pole, and you dangle it over that rail there, and you feed the crocodiles. And you make them angry, and they get up and hiss and hiss, and then they can get the piece of chicken. And then there's another part of the zoo where you can feed the tigers. And the tigers are right beside you, because you get into like a minibus which has railings. Used two that are engaged to get married. You keep quiet there. Used two, yeah. Used two that are courting. Sorry, courting. Not courting, courting. Am I teasing you? Is it all right? But there's another place there, and you get into a minibus, like a jeepney it's called, but it's a minibus, and there's railings on the windows, right? And you put the chicken out, and the tiger will come right up at the window, and he will eat it. And they jump up on the roof and all the rest of it. And I was in it with my youngest boy, and he had his hands out of the railing and holding on to it, and he advised me to keep his hand in, because you always keep your hands and arms in the vehicle when it's moving, they say, like that, the amusement parks. So here we are. This is downtown Tarlac. These are the little tricycles. These are little motorbikes. And you can tie your furniture on the roof. And if you went to school, you would ride one of these here. And you get in it. And they will take you around town. And I remember whenever we were out in the Philippines at the beginning, we didn't have a car, and we rode these everywhere. And we were at the we were buying our groceries one time, and it started raining. The rain comes on real heavy there, and the water came up to here. And my wife was in here with the groceries, and the water was just floating. All the groceries were floating all around. And it's just amazing just to be in that situation. But that's just what the little jeepneys are like. This is downtown Eftanyeta. We live in Tarlac. Tarlac is 2 hours north of the capital, Manila. It is a population of about 1.5 million in Tarlac. This is Eftanyeta, and these are the jeepneys. The jeepneys are the local minibus, like a little Ulster bus or like a little TransLink. And you would be, if you want to get on one of these here, you just go like this on the road. There's no bus stop. You don't go to the bus stop. You just, if you notice one of these guys coming, you just put your hand like that, and he'll just come in, and he'll pick you up. And then you get in, and the seats in the bus are up and down like this, right? They're up and down like the way the old buses used to be here. Up and down like that there, which is very good, but if they hit the brakes, everybody goes up to the front of the bus, and then when they take off, everybody goes to the back of the bus. And whenever you get in, you pass your money up one by one. And then whenever you want out, you just hit the roof, and he just pulls over. And so they're very good indeed. So, That's what yous need here. Yous need a bus like that here to go around and pick yous all up, wouldn't yous? So this is the Mighty Jeepney. There's another one of them, the Mighty Jeepney. And of course you have all the new vehicles as well that you have here. People think that the Philippines, I remember telling a guy, he says, do you have McDonald's? I says, well, in Tarlac we have 5 McDonald's in Tarlac. So, and we have Burger King, and we have Pizza Hut, and you have Domino's, and all the rest of it. And you have a lot of fast food. You have KFC. You have everything you have here is out there too. But, of course, with having that many people, a lot of the poor people wouldn't be eating in those places. So there's more of the little motorbikes as well. So this is where we live. This is the property that we have. We live upstairs. And then downstairs is the ministry for keeping all the tracts in the Bibles. And we've had a typhoon hit us with winds of 160 mile an hour. And no damage. The roof on this is a Bahay Kubo. This building here is a Bahay Kubo. Okay? Everybody say Bahay Kubo.
Bahay Kubo.
Very good. That's a Nipa hut made of bamboo. And that was the very first building we had on the property. But the typhoon came and ripped the roof off that, and off the kitchen, and off the carport, and it came down and landed on the car. And so it was a lot of fun. So this is my two boys, Nathan and Isaac, and these are my organic bananas. They are organic. I have two dogs. I have two beagle dogs. And the bananas are growing beside where the dogs live. And every time I let the dogs out, the dogs pee on the bananas. And that's why bananas are yellow. Did you know that? Because the other ones the dogs don't pee on are still green. But there you go. So whenever you're eating a green banana, remember there was some native dog away in Caribbean must have peed on them. So gives it the color. But they are beautiful bananas. And don't worry a bit. That it makes it organic. So this is me standing in a road. That's the road outside of our property in the typhoon. Whenever there was a typhoon that hit the Philippines where it is, we get a lot of typhoons and a lot of damage. And whenever the typhoons come, and if where you live is in the path of the typhoon and your house can't hold up to it, then you must go to places like this. And this is not nice at all. Now you have to remember that in the Philippines it's very, very hot. A lot of insects, wee mosquitoes, a lot of cockroaches, lizards. And they would be in this meeting now, they'd be... And all that, these little mosquitoes. And they can give you dengue, which will put you in the hospital and could kill you. So you have to be careful. And then also the cockroaches. The cockroaches could be maybe 2 inches long. Right? The cockroaches. And they could be running across there. And the cockroaches, some of them have wings and some of them don't. And you could be watching a cockroach going across and next minute, he'll take off right at you. And, it's very good now. It keeps, now, of course, now where we are, where we live, if you keep it really clean and everything, you don't get all the cockroaches, but you do get the other mosquitoes as well. So, but that's what it's like. That's where you have to go if the typhoons come. And this is what happens. This is a basketball hoop and the water's up almost at it. That's houses. And so this is what it's like. Where we live, we lived in the house next door and the water came in like that there twice. And so our property is raised over 2 meters. It's raised probably about the height up there to the curtains nearly. And then we live upstairs as well because we don't want the property getting damaged. But this is what it's like. The rains come. This happens every year in places. Every year the Philippines could have maybe 28 typhoons. If you remember the last time I was here, there had been a mammoth typhoon that hit. It killed over 10,000 people in one storm. So they are very bad, and this is what it's like now. driving in the typhoon. Now, but at least that road open. This road's not open. And you can imagine going home and you see that. I remember going to Manila one time. If we go, we would go to Manila maybe once a month or so to the churches there. And it could take maybe 2.5 hours going. And it took us almost 8 hours getting home because of the weather. So it is, we do be in the vehicle a lot over there. So here's two farmers at their hut, at their little house where they live to manage their bananas. There has bananas growing there, those big leaves there, the banana leaves. And as you can see, that water, there's a lot of current in that water. Now, can anybody tell me what this boy has? A pig. No, we don't have a sausage yet now. He's a pig. I just hope it's all the pig. But it seems to be. And but this next one's a nice one. And it always gets out there now. I seen that in the paper and I thought, not a nice picture. There you go. That's him getting ready to go and get slaughtered. So this is what it's like in the Philippines. Now, we have been driving, because in the Philippines, if you go away and you're coming home from a church or whatever, and the typhoon comes, we've had to drive through water, probably that their depth, and you've only one way. You have to keep on going. And there's a little church that we would go to, and there's only one road in and one road out, and the water comes, and it just becomes mud, and you have to go through it. So we would value your prayers for a new vehicle, because our vehicle's not very good at it. But this has happened to me as well. I turned a corner one time in the floods, and the water went up over the roof of the car. So it was a really nice experience to be in the middle of it. And so this is a tractor. This is the tractor they use in their rice paddies. This is what they would fly with. This is the tractor here. The handlebars are way up here. The tractor's over there, the engine part. And this one here, he's converted it into a minibus. So there's a minibus. Well, it's a homemade thing. And there's wheels under there. But if you can imagine being in that, the water is up right almost at the seat. And he's trying to pull the engine along. So it's not always easy. It's not always easy, but there we are. There's your man with the boxes. That's us getting the boxes. We would pack a lot of boxes while we're here. And this is in Market Hill. This is at my dad's house. And whenever the disasters come, we also, my dad would run a little charity shop in Newtown Hamilton, way down on the border. And we would get a lot of clothes and summer clothes. We would pack them up, especially with the children. We would pack them up and put them in the boxes and any food as well. And it helps whenever the disasters happen, then we can help with the churches. I remember one pastor had a church about as big as this hall. That was his church, right? And he had a door at one end and a door at the other end. And he had his pews and his organ, just like what you have in the pulpit. And he had a wee motorcycle, and he kept the motorcycle inside the church. It means nobody would steal it. You have to be careful. Somebody would steal it. So I was inside the church, and the typhoon came, and the river burst its banks, and it came in through one door, and it went out through the other door, and it took everything with it. And he was left with this much mud inside the church. And he came to me a month later, and he said, "Praise the Lord, Brother Garth. It's a good opportunity to go out and witness that the Lord has had his hand upon us, and, you know, kept us safe." And I was thinking, a lot of people wouldn't think that. I'm sure if your leaders came in here one day and they seen mud that height, and they, maybe the Lord doesn't want us there anymore. But you know, they have to just keep on cleaning it up. And this is the man who took your boxes away. And that was him loading up the boxes for us as well. So they go out, and that goes over to our... over to the door, or over to the gate of the property out in the Philippines, and we can get it door to door, no customs, no nothing. And he's very good. He can take everything. He told me what I'm not allowed in the boxes. So if you're thinking of what can I send Garth out in the Philippines, well, you can send anything except batteries, tires, and guns. Everything else is okay. All right? So that just narrows it down. If you're thinking of saying, what can I send? There you go. If it's a battery, or if it's a gun, or if it's tires, no, you're not allowed. All right? So there you go. So there's the stuff now being given out now to the pastors. That's our vehicle now with the stuff in it. And there we are getting given out to the pastors. This is me getting ready. And it is very hot. Remember, it's over 40 degrees. That's why I look very dirty there. So whenever my sister, they came out last year to us, and they were visiting for about 3 weeks, and they were doing meetings. They wanted to do meetings with the children's work, and so they had raised £1,000, and so we were able to buy all this stuff here for 1,000 children. So what we got was, we had £1 a child, and they got a little colouring in book, and a little towel, and talcum powder, and toothpaste, toothbrush. So they want that. That's what the kids want. And then little biscuits and stuff as well. So we had a wrap. So this is downstairs in our property. And then these are the guests. There's bedrooms here and an office down there. And but that's us getting all the stuff ready to go. And we had to pack all of that stuff into bags. And we had to tie it on the roof of our car. Now, our car would hold, it says, 9 Filipinos. Filipinos are smaller. My brother-in-law would be 6'4". And Filipinos aren't 6'4". They might be 5 foot, maybe 2 or 3 or 4. And but anyway, we were all in the car, all of the 10 of us in our car, plus luggage, because we were going the weekends, plus 1,000 packs as well. So you can imagine how much fun we had. That's us wrapping up all the stuff there in the Philippines. So we do help at the Christmas time as well. Many of the kids wouldn't get any gifts, and we would help them now give them gifts at the Christmas time. And even the older people want gifts as well. That's the girls then at my brother-in-law's church. We would help with my brother-in-law's church. He's in Manila, and we try to go down there often and help with the needs of the church. You know, we try to help in a practical way out there. All right, it's more practical Christianity. We're helping. Yes, we're helping. Seeing new converts, or you know, seeing people get saved. But you have to encourage, you know, Christians as well. That's what this meeting's here for, to encourage yous. And but I was at a meeting, and the pastor said to me, you know, what are we going to do for the Christmas dinner? And so I thought, right, okay, we'll give each family will get a chicken. That's a roast chicken. That's what you have on Sundays, isn't it? Out of the oven. Except that's off a grill. That's off charcoal. And that there tastes far nicer. But don't tell your mum that. But that tastes really, really nice. And I was there one time at that there restaurant. That's a restaurant right on the side of the road. And they cook maybe 300 chickens a day at that one restaurant. And I was there with other pastors, right? And they said to me, Brother Garth, would you like some chicken pwit? Has anyone had here chicken pwit? Nobody's had chicken pwit. Well, they came back to me with a bit, maybe 8, you know, chicken pwit on the stick, on a barbecue stick, and it was roasted over the barbecue coals. And boys, I looked at it, and I knew what it was. It was a row of chicken bums on a barbecue stick. And I just looked and I said, why would somebody even think of doing that? But they were saying, oh, these are masarap. These are, you know, that's delicious. Ooh, masarap, brother girl, masarap. I'm going, mm-hmm, they look masarap. A row of bums. But anyway, I took, you dipped them in the vinegar and dipped them in the red sauce. And, lovely. So I ate the chicken bums. And did me no harm. And anyway, my wife gives off to me, because my wife's a very good cook and cooks all the vegetables and pasta and everything. And there's a lot of really nice food out in the Philippines. There's also another one which is called balut. Have you ever heard of balut? Balut is duck egg. A big duck egg which has got an aborted, you know, chick inside it. Half a chick. It's not just an egg. It has already begun to form, right? So you crack them open, and there's a little boy who would go around the village, and he'd be riding his bike, bloat, bloat, and you call bloat, and he comes bloat, and he comes back. And you buy the bloat for maybe 10 or 15p. And you get the bloat, and it's nice and warm, it's already been cooked, and you open it up, and you can see half of the little chick. Yeah. Good for you. Tell you. But you can only take one or two of them. If you take more than that, you could have a heart attack. Very, very high in protein. But you can get older chicks and younger chicks. I like the younger one. The older one has already some feathers. And I would give it over to my dog. So, but eat the rest. There I'm all excited, ripping a hole in my jumper. I'd need some balut tonight. But we had people building. We built all that building there by hand, you see. And at night time, you'd be tired and you'd take balut. And it would give you energy. It's like Red Bull. It's like Red Bull. It gives you wings. So that's us giving out some of the stuff, some of the little presents. That's Lorelai, my wife, and the two boys giving out the stuff. There's more presents being given out as well. There's us going to the airport. Look at the car loaded to the hilt with 10 people inside that wee car. And it was a lot of fun to travel 7 hours to the airport. 7 hours to the airport in that. And we had to stop and eat a McDonald's in it. In it. So we were eating our McDonald's, driving down the road with all of our luggage. So a lot of fun, a lot of fun. And so this is the meetings. There's the little children's meetings in Manila. You just walk down a wee alleyway and you say you're having a meeting, and hundreds of kids just appear out of the wee houses. So that's just what it's like. There we live out in the province, they call it, out in the countryside, and that's the wee children's meetings out where we are. And there's us back in Manila again giving out the stuff. So this is a house meeting we had downstairs. My time, I have 4 minutes left. Your courses were too long, brother. Yeah. There's a house meeting we had. Here's the ladies in the house meeting. And there they are eating. They would cook a lot of food for them. And here's a game they were doing. If you're wondering what this girl's doing here, you can have this at your next party. All right? This here game was, you put an Oreo. Who knows what an Oreo is? Good, good. All hands are raised. Put an Oreo on your forehead. And the winner puts it in their mouth without touching it. All right? Imagine what you look like. So you have to twist your face and get it in. And another game is you have to eat a watermelon. Not a whole big green watermelon. I mean like a piece of it. And you have your hands behind your back and you have to eat a watermelon in a piece. And the winner eats it all. But I was doing that there. And we had just had our dinner. And in the Philippines you get a lot of big flies, right? And they were over at the rubbish and they kept coming over and landing on the watermelon. And going back to rubbish, going back again. And I was going, we're getting ready to have this game. And we were all sitting there ready to go. And the flies were all around us here. And we're getting ready to go. And the wee pastor's wife said, hold on, Brother Garth. Hold on. And the wee pastor's wife brought out a nice, beautiful piece of watermelon with the cling film, nice and cool for me. But all the odd deacons are all standing around the table too. And the pastor and all. And they're just looking at me. And looking at their fly-covered watermelon. And I was sitting ready to go and bang. And I won. Because they were afraid to eat. And they also eat a banana with their hands behind their back. You have to peel it and all that. There's a lot of games. The Philippines have a lot of games. They have a lot of fun. So they have. So here's the main ministry of the Bibles and the tracts being given out. Hundreds and hundreds of Bibles. I was at one meeting and we gave out 3,000 Bibles. In one meeting. And there's more of the pastors getting their supplies as well. That's whenever my dad was over helping as well. And there's more and more. As you can imagine, we need lots and lots of material for all these pastors here. This is a young man here. I'll go a wee bit longer. There's a young man here, Bernard. He graduated Bible College maybe a couple of years ago. And he went to the edge of the jungle. And he put up his church. This is his church. Right? Because it's not like this at all. It's not even like this. It's just pieces of wood up and then some tin on the roof. And he has over 30 people in that their church saved. And the church is growing. There he has an extension out here now. And he rode over 2 hours on this motorbike. And I gave him as much as I could get onto the motorbike into that box. And then he drove 2 hours back home again. On this wee motorbike. Can you imagine driving 2 hours in that there? And this is my hut here with Union Jack. Union Jack hanging in the hut there. These are all Protestants, yeah. If you're not, I love you anyway. All right, but I have my Union Jack up in my hut. And whenever it's the 12th of July, I play an old 12th of July parade out in the Philippines. You have to keep your blood pumping. So here are the youth camps. I'm nearly done. The youth camps are a big burden on our hearts. The last camp we have that, there were over 400 campers, and we were there nearly a week. And at the end of it, there were 30 young people got saved at the camp. And it's just a wonderful time. There would be in tents and in the rooms as well. And it is a real blessed time, you know, to be at those camps. They would sing the choruses that are in this book in English, and they're reading their King James Bible, and it's just amazing, just the atmosphere in these camps. And at the end of the camp, that's my brother-in-law there. He preached last at the camp. Each of us, I had a visitor over. We had the Reverend Morris Baxter from Mulvin. He was my pastor whenever I still lived here in Mullaghlass, whenever I was younger. And he came over to visit us, and he was speaking at the camp as well. And I was speaking, and different ones were speaking. But this here is a group of, this would be a group of people like you here. This is a group of young people. All Christians, these are all Christians here. And he gave an appeal for the young Christians to come up and to pray for their relatives, the people they worked with. And here they are praying, and they were praying there for maybe 10 minutes. Whenever they got up, because they were praying on tiled floor. And whenever they got up, I hit the Reverend Morris Baxter. I hit him a nug. We looked out, and there was drips of tears all over the whole place at the burden that they had, at the crying that the young people did. And it really spoke to me that the burden they had, yes, they're very happy and they're very jolly people, but you know, many of these young people come from very difficult homes, and they don't have maybe meetings like this, and they would love to have meetings like this in their area. And you should really cherish, you know, the time that you are here. Because I look back on my life and I cherish the time I had in the youth program as well. And you should really, you know, be encouraged that you have a place like this to come to. And this was us at the camp, and it really spoke to me. And we would value your prayers about helping at these camps. You know, we'd like to have our own camp. But you're talking £300,000. That's a lot of money. So until that happens, we will continue helping send these young people to the camps and to get as many people in and to encourage them. That's just the little road there to the church, some other churches, and some of the other feeding programs as well. So there's a little church in Tarlac that we help at. And there's Lorelei. If you wonder why that there cow is there, I took the picture on the left and I turned around, and that cow was looking at me. And so I thought I would take his picture. And so that's why meat is very expensive in the Philippines. Beef is expensive. All of our milk and butter comes out of New Zealand, because you'd be a long time getting it from her. So you would. So, but anyway. So we'd ask you to pray. I know you're young people, but the Lord hears your prayers, and he answers your prayers through other people. So we do need a vehicle, And we do need money to help with the camps. It costs a lot of money to help with the camps. You're talking thousands of pounds to help with the camps. And then the Bibles as well. We need lots and lots of Bibles and tracts. And, you know, we're independent. I'm not with any big organization, okay? I'm just Gareth. Yes, we're called Grace Ministries, but it's just me. And but the Lord has been blessing over the years. And I would like just to thank you for the opportunity to come here and to present the work. I hope you've been encouraged by it. That's the last slide. 5 minutes over. I do apologize. But you're not remembering the next time I'm back.